constitutional qualifications to even issue orders. How in the world did we get an overtly anti-American resident of the People's White House with so much as a simple birth certificate to prove who this person really is? And why won't a single elective representative of the people engage in the effort to force an answer to this question? The answers to these and many other questions are likely very simple and equally chilling. The Speaker of the House does not refuse to certify her candidate as constitutionally qualified in 49 of the 50 states by accident. None of these things have happened by accident. The U.S. Constitution no longer stands as the governing law of this land. The people willing to ask tough questions are deemed crackpots and conspiracy theorists, racists and bigots. But sooner or later, the people will run out of patience. When that day comes, I fear what methods will be employed and whether or not there will be a country left to save them. Very troubling, my friend. Get on your knees and pray for this country. We need a deliverance. We need a breakthrough. God bless you, and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you.
Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend Lindsay Williams, and we're going to be talking about some of the things we've talked about. But the last time we talked to Lindsay, he'd suggested that there was going to be a major event, some sort of a crisis in the Middle East, and that was about 4 months that it was going to come, so 4 to 6 months, something like that. I've been expecting a war with Iran for a long period of time, and I said, Lindsay, is this going to be a war with Iran? And he said, well, I don't know. They just told me there was going to be a major event, and that's all I was told. Well, ladies and gentlemen, about 2 weeks ago, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, who incidentally has strong ties to the occult. We know when she went in the White House, when Bill was elected president, first thing she did was get Jean Houston, who is a medium, to come to the White House to conjure up the spirits of Mohandas Gandhi and Eleanor Roosevelt. And anybody who understands the implications of the First Lady bringing someone in to conjure up spirits in the White House might sort of question what this is really all about. But about 2 weeks ago, Hillary Clinton was, I believe it was in Dubai, it was somewhere in the Middle East there, and addressing the leaders of the Arab countries, and she said in no uncertain terms that if they didn't allow certainly women's freedom and democracy and representative government, that the whole area was going to explode. And, well, of course, the tradition there in the Middle East is certainly not to have women order you around, and yet, well, we know that Tunisia, the government there, has been overthrown. We know that there have been major demonstrations in Algeria, in Egypt, in Yemen, in Jordan. And this is all in the last couple of weeks. We know that actually they've overthrown the government of Lebanon, and a new government is totally unstable there. Looks like Hezbollah's taking charge. How do you create a revolution today? Well, of course, it takes a lot of money to coordinate that all across that area. Who has the money to coordinate revolutions? Who has agents in every country? How do you get the people out in the streets? Well, you have Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera is a television, a radical Islamic television station on satellite. And who financed Al Jazeera? Why, MI6. Go up on the Internet, check this out. This is well-known. Everybody knows Al Jazeera, the backbone of Islamic Jihad and Al-Qaeda, and financed by MI6, British intelligence. Just exactly as the Muslim Brotherhood, the backbone of this radical Islamic movement, originally was financed by MI6 and then more later by the CIA. Now, if you don't believe this, we carried a book for a long time called The Devil's Game. You finance both sides, ladies and gentlemen. Well, how do you create a revolution? Well, you buy off the military. You tell them not to oppose the other side. You know, go through, you use rubber bullets and a little tear gas. But, I mean, if you want to stop a revolution, if you're ruthless in a ruthless tyranny, you just order the troops to open fire on the people. And if they don't open fire on the people, you open fire on your own military. And that's how you put down a revolution. But they're not trying to put down the revolution. And so the whole of the Middle East today is certainly quaking, and a number of these nations and governments may fall. With us is Lindsay Williams. Hi, Lindsay. These are certainly dangerous times we live in, aren't they?
Dr. Sand, these are exciting days, and I'm glad I'm living here to see it. Prophets look forward to it.
All right, and fine. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Lindsay as we let him explain what he knows. Lindsay, go right ahead.
It is such a privilege to be here tonight, Dr. Stan. And I look back on all of this and think of those years, 3 years of them, which I actually had, by the providence of God, the privilege of being the chaplain to the elite of the world and keeping in touch with these people over the past 35 years. You know, when I look at all this, Dr. Stan, I realize that I had the privilege of coming on your broadcast and saying some of these things that the elite had told me before they've ever happened, and now we're seeing right before our eyes what was predicted by Mr. Fromm before his death, and the very timing of it exactly as he had said it was back then. So for the sake of those listening tonight, let me go into a few of these things that the predictions were made. You may have heard some of them. Many new listeners, you probably haven't, but you remember back about 2.5 years ago, I came to Dr. Stan, and I was beside myself, and I said, Dr. Stan, do I dare give this? I wondered if my credibility was at stake, and Dr. Stan was bold enough to allow me to come on his program and say that I had just been told by one of the elitists of the world. We can tell who he is now. His name is Mr. Ken Fromm. He passed away just recently, so I have no problems using his name now.
And he was the president of ARCO. One of the most. They were eventually absorbed, I think, by Exxon anyway, of course. But this was. He was the president of one of the most powerful oil companies when he retired.
And he had just said to me on the phone, Chaplain, the price of crude oil is going from $147 a barrel to $50 a barrel. And I called up Dr. Stan, and he said, sure, if this man told you this, you can go on my program and say it. I thought I was crazy. I knew that my reputation was at stake, that it would harm Dr. Stan if it didn't happen. And exactly 2 months later, just as this gentleman had said, contrary to everything that Wall Street was saying, the price went down from $147 a barrel to $34 a barrel, I believe it was. And at the same time, this gentleman had said to me, Chaplain, the price of crude oil is going to stay there for somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 to 2.5 years. And it did. It stayed right between $50 and $70 a barrel. He also said that there's not going to be a conflict in the Middle East for this period of time. And I remember that we had our warships over there, the Navy, the Air Force.
Hold that thought, Lindsay. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Lindsay, I contacted Lindsay 2.5 years ago because he had taken down his website, and the only copy of his little book, The Energy Nine Crisis, was up on Amazon for $1,999.95. That was the only copy available. Somebody had taken all the other copies off. I called Lindsay, and I said, Lindsay, what in heaven's name is going on? You've taken down your website, your books have disappeared, and Lindsay was very concerned. He really was. And he said, well, he'd been threatened by this gentleman, a very powerful man, and told he was to stop talking about the massive amounts of oil that were off the north slopes of Alaska. But that after the threats were there, and Lindsay had agreed to take down his website and agreed to do all the things he was told to do, maybe some of them I don't know, but he did everything he was told to do. He asked Ken Fromm, who had been the president of ARCO, one of the most powerful men in the world, what the future held, and Mr. Fromm laid out a series of things which the most specific was that at that time, when the price of oil was pushing $140 a barrel, and we thought it was going to go to $200 a barrel and totally destroy the economy, and this was in June of 2008, I remember very well. And then, of course, he was told, no, the price of oil is going to fall. And Lindsay told me these things and a number of other things, but those are the most important things, that and the fact that they were going to destroy the value of our currency. And, I suggested Lindsay call back this gentleman and say, can I put the information out? Lindsay did, and the rest is history. And, of course, the price of oil fell. You can see the dollar under attack today. But you pick up the story from there, Lindsay.
Well, they kept the price of crude oil exactly where this gentleman had told me it would be. They kept it there for 2.5 years. He said something else also back in those days. I remember that we had all of our warships over there, Navy, Air Force, everybody was right ready for an invasion of Iran. And everyone thought there was going to be a war with Iran. And I called him up on the phone one day because I really thought there was going to be a war with Iran, too, about 2.5 years ago. And I called him on the phone and I said, what about war with Iran? I'll never forget his response. He kind of laughed over the telephone and he said, Chaplain, there's not going to be war with Iran for 2 to 2.5 years. You don't have a thing to worry about in the Middle East. Well, this went along, and about 8 or 9 months ago, I remember Dr. Stan called me on the phone one day, and he said, Lindsay, it looks like we're going to have war with Iran. And I said, Dr. Stan, I believe you're right. It looks that way. Let me call my friend, and I did. And he said, Chaplain, there is not going to be war with Iran yet. Well, many of you know what happened after that. I didn't predict it. This man told me. He said, there's going to be war with Iran, not going to be war with Iran. He said, I'll use his exact words because it didn't include Iran. He said, there's going to be a conflict in the Middle East within the next 4 to 5 months. And Dr. Stan, I came on your program and I said that. And here we are today. The whole Middle East is almost flaming in flames. They're routing downtown Cairo. Jordan and Yemen has likewise come into the conflict. And now the Muslim Brotherhood says that they feel that it is time for them to step up their takeover of the Middle East. And our president comes on the news today, says that he called Mr. Mubarak and told him, you should let the people have their way. Now, Mubarak is a friend of America. Mubarak made the agreement with Israel that they would be their friend. And we have turned our back on him. Our president today, this very day, called him on the phone and said, Mr. Mubarak, you need to turn back on the Internet. You need to turn back on the telephones. Do you realize what will happen if he does this? He'll be overthrown.
And that's exactly what we did back in 1979 when the United States Central Intelligence Agency overthrew the Shah of Iran, and we told him to let all the demonstrators out on the streets and to turn loose the other political prisoners. We ordered him to do these things. The CIA was actually financing the Ayatollah Khomeini. He was living under CIA auspices in Paris, and of course, as soon as as the Shah agreed to do what the Americans told him to do. Of course, there was a revolution, the total breakdown of the structure of society, and the Shah was forced to leave. We toppled the Shah of Iran to bring the Ayatollahs to power, and it didn't make any sense in 1979. I said, why would we topple a man who's our friend? Sure, he's a tyrant, but he's got the sixth largest army in the world. He's a friend of the United States. He's pro-American. He's a benevolent ruler. But if you can have any benevolent dictators, because dictators always have to be ruthless to a greater or lesser degree, but it was better than a lot of them we were supporting. Like, for instance, the guys over in China today who we are supporting, who are persecuting Christians. But when we toppled the Shah, we brought the Ayatollahs to power in 1979. It didn't make any sense. But you see, you have to have an enemy, and this is long-term planning. And so basically everybody said, oh, the Iranians are terrible. Ladies and gentlemen, we put these people in power and behind the scenes. In fact, there was an article recently how even though we have all these sanctions on Iran, we let a lot of major companies continue trading with them, but we can't let the American public to know it's all a charade. And now they're doing the same thing with Mubarak and Egypt that we did with the Shah, and telling him, oh, you've got to know, let the people vent their wrath and stop trying to suppress them and let them demonstrate. We're going to topple, it looks like, most of the governments over there. Just like Hillary told him a couple of weeks ago. You better listen to Hillary. Go right ahead, Lindsay.
You are exactly right, Dr. Stan. That's exactly what we have done time after time as a country, is turn our back on our friends. We turned our back on the Shah of Iran. And many of you will remember that in my book, Syndrome of Control, George Hansen, who was a congressman at that time from the state of Idaho, he went to Iran and was ready to bring the prisoners home. I mean, he literally got permission to bring them home. And he called back to Washington and said, I can bring all of the hostages home. Are you ready to receive them? And they said, you leave immediately. You do not bring them home. You make no negotiations. They wanted the Shah of Iran toppled. We are doing the identical same thing today. Mubarak is our friend. He is a friend of Israel. He's made an agreement with Israel. We're turning our back on him. Mark my words, this has just begun in the Middle East. What we're seeing happen right now, I came on Dr. Stan's program and said 4 months ago, I said 4 to 5 months from now, I have been told that there's going to be a conflict in the Middle East. How did they know it? Why? Because it had all been planned behind closed doors. They knew exactly what they were going to do. And now we are allowing some of our major enemies, the Muslim Brotherhood, which is none other than a radical Islamic group, and we are allowing those people to take over Egypt, and it will spread into Jordan. It'll spread into Yemen. Now, let's just stop for a moment. I was told this 4 months ago by the elitist friend of mine. He said, this is what's going to happen. It's happening before our eyes today. You know that they knew in advance what was going to happen. I didn't know where it would happen. All they said to me was, it's going to take place. Now, the Suez Canal, it handles 30% of the world's oil supply on any given day. If the Suez Canal, which, by the way, they're already burning there. There's fire. There are shells going off there. At the Suez Canal right now, tonight, it's been happening all day long today and for the last few days. If that Suez Canal is closed, you will see $4, $5, $6 a gallon gasoline overnight, because 30% of the oil supply of the world goes through that canal on any given day. And here we are, our president, saying, let the Muslim Brotherhood take over. Turn your internet back on. Turn your cell phones back on. He is setting him up for an overthrow so that the Muslim Brotherhood can take over that part of the world. I think it's one of the greatest atrocities. But the thing that startles me, And I should say, I don't know how to put it. I'm almost out of words. I said, how these people knew this was going to happen, and they told me when it was going to happen, and right here on Dr. Stan's program, He also said to me, he said, Chaplain, you are going to see the price of crude oil go to $150 to $200 a barrel. How did they know this was going to take place if they didn't have it planned? They did have it planned. And I came on Dr. Stan's program. He allowed me to say this. Now, you are going to see all of the other things that this elitist friend of mine said would take place. You're going to see them happen exactly as you have seen the other things happen. They will take place. My prediction is we have just begun to see the beginning of this over in Egypt. It will probably spread throughout that part of the Middle East, and there's a situation developing here, Dr. Stan, that is appalling. Watch it day by day, because the elite have some things planned here that are startling, Dr. Stan.
I agree with you. And, of course, one of the things that's going to happen, there's going to be real trouble as far as our inflation is concerned. The price of goods, I think, is going to start going up here. I think that the right now, of course, they've manipulated the price of gold and silver down. I think they're going up and probably going up fairly rapidly. In fact, gold was up $30 an ounce. Silver was up over a dollar an ounce today. They backed it down. You have to understand that all of these prices are manipulated. Everything is manipulated. The book The Devil's Game goes into how the CIA financed the Muslim Brotherhood. Certainly, go up on the internet and look up Al Jazeera MI6. MI6 has been actually funding that, and of course putting it up on the satellite to control both sides of the structural. Go right ahead, Lindsay.
The elitists of America, they knew about this in advance. I want to prove this to you, not only with the fact that I was told this.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Major corporations are buying their stock. That means it's going to go up. But when they're selling their stock, why, it's going to go down. And there's been massive insider trading over this last few months. And then between January 10th and January 16th, there was, I think, $150, $160 million of selling, and not one share of stock was bought by the insiders. These are figures that are available, never happened before. They know what's going on. The stock market is manipulated. The commodity markets are manipulated. The price of gold and silver and oil are all manipulated. And, of course, that's how the oil companies make a great deal of oil. That's why they have effectively blocked, you know, the development of our oil-based resources here. There's so much oil out there. The world would be awash with oil. But you see, do you make more money if there's a shortage of oil or if there's an abundance of oil? Well, you make more money if there's a shortage of oil, of course. So that's what the oil companies want, but they don't want you to know that. And so they pretend, oh, we're trying to do all this drilling. And they are doing drilling, and they're getting oil. But the oil should be down, you know. Well, I'm going to let Lindsay talk about that because he's actually talked to another gentleman who I personally have talked to myself, was a high official with ARCO when Lindsay was working there on the Alaska pipeline. And they told you, what did they tell you the price of gasoline should be?
It's quite interesting, Dr. Stan, that you would bring this up at the very time that this has happened over there in Egypt. In the first program I've had the privilege of being with you on since this Egyptian circumstance is literally exploding over there. And just within the past week, I received a communique from this friend of mine, since Christopher Fromm died, another individual that's one of the elitists that gives me, has promised to give me information now. And it was the communique right at the very top. He said, "I hope you're sitting down." Well, when he said that, I knew that he had something in mind that he wanted to say, and he went on to talk about, and I've asked him in the past, and I think you asked him on the phone one time, how much oil is at Prudhoe Bay, or how much oil is there in the United States of America? And he went on to say what has been found recently, that in many ways, some of the oil men themselves are the only ones that knew just the depth of this. And he said to me, gasoline could be 60 cents a gallon. I mean, this is so startling. Now, they have found both in the Bakken Reserve and also in a reserve under the state of Colorado, they have found massive amounts of crude oil. Listen to the amount that he said in this latest communique. He said, "We have in excess of up to 500 billion barrels of crude oil. This is light, sweet crude." Now, this is the first time I've seen this. When he sent it to me this week in this communique, I did not know what kind of oil the Bakken Reserve was and what this oil is under Colorado that they have just discovered recently. He said in this communique, and understand, folks, this is an insider in the oil companies who is a lifelong oil company man, knows everything that goes on behind closed doors. He said this is light, sweet crude. Now, let me try to explain. A refinery has difficulty refining oil that is heavy oil. Light sweet crude is what very few places on the face of the earth have, such as Nigeria has light sweet crude, much of it there. And it's oil that is so pure that you could bring it out of the ground, put it through a simple filter, put it into a diesel engine, and could burn it like it is. Light sweet crude is what the refineries beg for and can be refined at a very low cost. He says, we have known, just found, oil reserves, 500 billion barrels of light sweet crude. He said it can be brought to the American people. Are you ready? Folks, I hope you're writing this down. He said it can be brought to the American people at $16 per barrel, 60 cents a gallon at the gas pump. We could pay off the one half of the national debt with what we know is there, Dr. Stan.
But, of course, they don't want to develop that. Why? Because, of course, the world is awash with oil, and if there's lots of oil, the price goes down. And they want, of course, to keep the price up because that's how they make more money. And then, of course, there's this other agenda, and that is they want to destroy our economy because the people who control the oil companies are part of the Brotherhood of Darkness. Their goal, of course, is to lower the living standards here, raise the living standards in the BRIC nations, and they're doing a very good job. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want you to know. Stan back here at Radio Liberty and our guest, Lindsay Williams. Lindsay, you pick up the story from there.
30% of the world's crude oil travels through the Suez Canal on any given day. We have a major conflict right now in Egypt in which Mr. Mubarak, who has been the premier for many years, it is being overthrown. It appears from what our president said today, which is an atrocity. I shudder to think of how a man could do what he has done, turn his back on our ally and on the ally of Israel, and call him on the phone today and say, turn back on the internet. Let your the people that are causing the riots, the Muslim Brotherhood, let them have their cell phones back again, and do what the people want done. If the people do what they want done, they will overthrow the ally of America, just like it happened back in the days of Jimmy Carter, president, in 1979, 1980, when the Shah of Iran was deposed. And if I didn't know better, when I got up this morning and saw what was happening, and as I have followed this horrifying story all day long from what the president said to Mr. Mubarak, and watched the scenarios go on all day, I would believe that we were seeing a replay of what happened with the Shah of Iran back in 1979 and 80. We've turned our back on our own ally again, and mark my words, if the people in Egypt have their way, Mr. Mubarak will be overthrown. We will have a Muslim Brotherhood. Oh, my goodness. You tell me our president is... You're bound to see the convictions of this man and what he's doing today. I don't think that any doubt whatsoever could be in anybody's mind as to where President Obama stands in light of what he has done today. And if he has his way, Mr. Mubarak will be overthrown. We will have a Muslim Brotherhood ruling Egypt. And they said today, the Muslim Brotherhood today came out with a statement and said, we feel that it is time for us to proceed with our program.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Lindsay's just pointing out the fact that the president today called Mr. Mubarak, who's the president of Egypt. They probably have rigged elections there. We have a rigged election here. I mean, isn't the, you know, the George Bush lost the 2004 elections in Ohio. There was all sorts of skullduggery. But he belonged to the same secret society that John Kerry did. So John Kerry didn't contest the elections because we got to maintain the myth of, oh, we are a democracy. No, ladies and gentlemen, we're not a democracy. We're a republic where the power of government is limited. But in a democracy, government can do whatever the majority wants. Isn't that the way it works? They do not abide by the Constitution, but be that as it may, why, President Obama had called Mubarak and told him, you have to stop, you know, suppressing freedom of speech there. You have to let people have their cell phones. You've got to let them express their and give them what the people want. Well, the people don't know what they want. What they're going to do is end up in an even worse situation, living under a radical Islamic regime like they have in Saudi Arabia, the one we are maintaining there under a feudal kingdom. But the Muslim Brotherhood has been financed by the CIA and by MI6 since it's for the last 50 to 75 years. Go up on the internet and check this out, or get the book we carry called The Devil's Game. The Devil's Game. And, of course, as I pointed out, Al Jazeera, which, of course, is the radical Islamic television network. Go up on the internet and check in MI6, Al Jazeera, and you'll find out this is created by British intelligence. So you control both sides. And basically, we are destabilizing that area, I fear, and there's going to be some sort of a war over there. And basically, the people in Israel are terrified because, of course, this radical Islamic takeover Egypt. They'll have an enemy, a powerful enemy on the south. They'll have the powerful enemy, certainly, on their north in Lebanon. They'll have a powerful enemy into their east in Jordan because they've been having riots in Jordan. And if Jordan doesn't fall, why, they have the government in Iran, radical Shia government that was brought to power in 1979 by the American State Department. If you study the history of revolutions, study the Chinese Revolution, you get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, we give you some of the Senate reports of the time. China went communist because the American State Department put an arms embargo on the nationalist Chinese, blockaded them so they couldn't buy weapons anywhere in the world, made sure that the Chinese communists had lots of weapons. Congress kept saying, well, you've got to send weapons to the nationalist Chinese. We don't want the communists to take over. Our boys fought to bring freedom and democracy. And after a year and a half with the ships loaded with arms for the nationalist Chinese, ships in New York, pardon me, in San Francisco and Los Angeles Harbor, finally Congress forced the State Department to carry out the policies of the American government to try to rescue the nationalist Chinese. And when the ships finally arrived in China and they opened the crates of rifles, they didn't have any bolts in them, and they were useless. We brought communism to China in 1949, 10 years later. We brought communism to Cuba. You think that Fidel Castro won the revolution? Well, you've been reading Time magazine too long. You need to see my DVD. It's called The World Revolution. And here you'll see my interview with Ambassador Earl T. Smith, the American ambassador to Cuba at the time of the Cuban Revolution. And he will tell you the State Department brought Fidel Castro to power. The CIA brought Fidel Castro to power. And they knew he was a communist. The president knew he was a communist. But you'll never read that in the New York Times. Your reality is shaped by the newspapers. Your ideas and tastes are shaped by the newspapers and now television. And it has very little to do with what's really going on. Lindsay, before you go on, why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you and your ministry and get your information?
I would like all of your listeners, I plead with you, I beg of you, I want you to hear the voices of the elite. After Ken Fromm passed away, I decided it was time for me to do something I had never been willing to do before, and I stuck my neck out and just finished producing 2 CDs where you physically, I have recorded the voices of the elite and I want you to hear them, not just me, not just what you've heard me say over Dr. Stan's program, but I want you to hear them personally tell you what their plans are through the year 2012. Please call our number and get my six DVDs, and we will give you the two CDs, or if you just want the CDs, you can get those also however you wish. You will know what's going to happen to the dollar, everything that the elite have told me. Now, Dr. Stan, if this has taken place over there in the Middle East today, exactly as they told me it would, and I came on your program and said it 4 months ago, and if gasoline prices went to where they said it would 2.5 years ago, I came on your program and dared to say it was going down to $1.50 a gallon at the gas pump. Everything that these people have said about food, about gold and silver prices, about the price of gasoline at the gas pump, where the dollar is going by the end of 2012, every one of these things, I want to hear you to hear the voices of the elite tell it in their own words what's going to happen. If you wish, take this down. I beg of you to call on Monday, our toll-free number, or this weekend. You can go to prophecyclub.com. That's prophecyclub.com. Or you can call our toll-free number on Monday, 888-799-6111. That again is 888-799-6111 or prophecyclub.com this weekend, and you will hear the voices of the elite and all of the 13 things in light of what the elite have told me within the past year that you positively must do in order to protect your household. We are seeing it unfold right in front of our eyes in Egypt today. Egypt is burning. The Middle East is facing a crisis. We have turned our back on our own ally, Mr. Mubarak. I think you're going to see a downfall of that government. It looks as though it could involve Jordan and Yemen. And I want to tell you what was said today. The Muslim Brotherhood said today, we feel that now is the time. We feel that everything is right and ready right now for us to take over the Middle East. Did you hear that? I heard it today. The Muslim Brotherhood announced, they're the ones, of course, that's doing the rioting over in Egypt right now. And they said, we feel it is time and we are ready right now to make the move to take over the Middle East. You know who this involves? This involves Israel. It could even involve Saudi Arabia. We are on the verge of something so catastrophic right now in the Middle East. When I woke up this morning and heard what I did, folks, I must admit to you, I saw the mark of the CIA all over that whole situation over there, and it is an atrocity what's taking place in Egypt right now. And when the Suez Canal is affected, you're going to have gasoline prices overnight go exactly where the elite of the world, Mr. Fromm, before he passed away, told me where they were going. We're going to see the gasoline prices go to $4, $5, and $6 a gallon overnight if that Suez Canal is closed. With Egypt burning, Cairo having riots as it did today, you very easily could see this take place in a very short period of time, Dr. Stan.
Well, let me just say, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Lindsay, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Now, those of you who heard my interviews with Dr. Paul Williams will recall, of course, that Turkey, you know, traditionally a friend of the West, Turkey, within the last 3 to 4 months, has turned against the West and, of course, has become a radical Islamic nation. Why did that happen? Well, because there was a gentleman, his name is Mr. Gulen, and Mr. Gulen is a multi-billionaire, and he's a multi-billionaire because he works very closely with the CIA. He lives in Pennsylvania. He was expelled from Turkey because he was trying to overthrow the government there. The State Department wanted to keep him out of this country. The CIA insisted he be allowed to come into this country, and there were actually hearings that were held, and there are records, apparently, at least according to Paul Williams, of these hearings, where the CIA said, oh, no, Mr. Gulen's a fine, upstanding individual. He is establishing madras schools, radical Islamic schools all across America. He is establishing radical Islamic governments in all of the Stan countries with the billions of dollars he got, presumably, for his close association with the CIA, and perhaps is it drug trafficking? We don't know. But we do know that Mr. Gulen is one of the key players in everything going on today, and primarily responsible for moving Turkey from the moderate pro-Western camp into the radical Islamic camp. Why would the CIA back this man? Why, we are creating, ladies and gentlemen, the best enemy money can buy. Not only that, but there is here, all across America, and I talked to a gentleman 30 years in the CIA just today, and he confirmed that there are these radical Islamic terrorist training camps in the United States where they have men who are felons recruited out of the prisons in the United States into the radical Islamic movement. And there they train in the use of explosives and military equipment and automatic weapons, which, of course, is against the law, but the FBI is not allowed to do anything about it. Approximately 60 of the radical Islamic terrorist training camps here in the United States. Go up on the Internet and look up Islamberg. Islamberg. And, of course, fortunately, you can get on the Internet and verify what I'm saying, verify what Lindsay is saying. Understand that we are moving into a period, I believe, of chaos and crisis. Be prepared in every way, but above all, be prepared spiritually, because all your other preparations will not suffice if this whole society begins crumbling. When's it going to happen? I don't know. But I do have a very uneasy feeling that things are moving faster than I'd anticipated. I hope and pray I'm wrong. Go ahead, Lindsay.
Where are the elite putting their funds? Now, a moment ago, we talked about the elite pulling their funds out of the New York stock market. We talked about the insider traders. Where are they putting it? If there was not one single purchase during that week of November the 10th through the 14th on the part of insiders, where are they putting it? I'd like to tell you where they're putting it. The United States Mint gave these figures. You go and look it up on your website for yourself. The United States Mint, during the month of December, sold an all-time record amount of silver, 2,221,000 ounces of silver during the month of December. Now, that was a monthly all-time record. Something very scary is going on, because the very week that the elite stopped buying stocks on the New York Stock Exchange, January 10 through 14, look what happened. The first 12 days of this month, right now, this month of January, the first 12 days of this month, the United States Mint sold 50% more silver than it sold the entire month of December combined. They gave their report just the other day. The United States Mint sold 3,407,000 ounces of silver during the first 12 days of the month of January. Who is buying it? I'll tell you who's buying it. It's very obvious. Mr. Fromm told me, the elite said to me, and I gave it right here on Dr. Stan's program one day, I was flabbergasted. I was beside myself. I wondered what I could do to spare my family and my dinner table after he had told me some of these things one day when he said by 2012, the end of 2012, the dollar will be dead. He said within 2 years, you won't recognize America. You remember those phrases that the elite gave me?
I sure do. In fact, we recorded a lot of that in one of my newsletters, where I just simply recorded everything Lindsay told me, and suddenly it was amazing how accurate it was. Go ahead.
And so where are the elite now putting it? I asked him, I said, what can I do to spare my household? And out of courtesy, he said, Chaplain, you know what our currency is? I said, what? He said, gold and silver. He said, if you get any advice tonight that I give, please listen to this. He said, if it's written on a piece of paper, it's worth the paper it's written on. This shows what the United States Mint the first 12 days of the month of January, right now, this month, it shows where the elite are putting their currency. They're putting it into gold and silver because they know what's about to happen to the stock market. They know what, Mr. Fromm, they know exactly what the elite have told me, that by the end of 2012, the dollar will be dead. But by that time, when they get ready to issue in some other form of you buying and selling things, whether it be a new currency or world currency, whatever it may be, I don't know, they haven't told me, but something will be there. You can take that gold, which by that time is probably going to be $3,000 an ounce, turn around and buy the new currency that may be the currency of the realm during that period of time. Listen, the Chinese head of state said the other day when he was with the president, he said the dollar is not going to be the reserve currency of the world anymore. How does he know that? It's all planned behind closed doors. They control China just like they control Russia, just like they control America, our president, our Congress. And where are the elite putting it? Exactly where I was told, and told it to you and begged you on Dr. Stan's program 2 years ago when you could have bought it for $700 an ounce. I said, this is what the elite said. Go and buy it as quick as you can. And the week that they no longer bought on the New York Stock Exchange because they knew what was going to happen, and it happened, began to happen today, the United States Mint sold 3,407,000 ounces of silver in 12 days' time, Dr. Stan.
Okay, well, hang on. Let's go to Gene, who's calling us from Walla Walla, Washington. Hi, Gene. How are you doing? I have a quick question for Lindsay.
Very quick, Dr. Stan, and thank you so much. When Lindsay, 4 or 5 months ago, first started talking about Mr. Fromm, I had a burden for him, and I wonder if he ever got saved.
Yes. Mr. Fromm, I was insured by his son, whom I had a number of talks with, assured me that he knew Christ as his Savior before he went out into eternity.
Amen.
All right. So, Gene, if you were praying for him, sometimes prayer can do amazing things. I know through the years I prayed for people that prayed that come to know the Lord, and I was always amazed what it, you know, sometimes you think, gee, does anybody really hear those prayers? And I was always amazed how often things have happened. And the older I get, the more convinced I am that God does work in the affairs of men. Anything else you want to say, Gene, before we let you go?
No, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, our guest this evening, Lindsay Williams. And we may be on the threshold told of something very big. Be prepared. Just be prepared. Lindsay, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. And it is such a privilege to be with you tonight, merely because by the providence of God, you know, this is the only reason that...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
Of something that one of his friends, who was a personal friend of Janet Napolitano, had told him approximately a month ago. And this woman was a conservative Christian. Janet Napolitano was a left-wing. But she, of course, is the head of national security. And they were friends, you know. I have friends, liberals. I enjoy them. They enjoy me. We respect one another. We just happen to disagree. But this woman was in Washington, D.C. Janet Napolitano said, "I want to have dinner with you and your husband. Let's do it." And during the process, Janet said, during dinner, "I want to tell you, I can't tell you why, but go home and lay in a 6-month supply of food and water and prepare." And, you know, why? You know, why? Well, I can't tell you, but do it. Well, I will tell you personally that I've talked to one of the largest distributors of freeze-dry food in the country. He told me that there's been a real cutback in the availability of free-dry food. I mean, within the last month to 6 weeks, it's very hard for people who sell freeze-dried food to get it. Somebody is massively stockpiling. I talked to the largest, one of the largest distributors of dehydrated food. He actually manufactures it. He's having difficulty getting food. He's always been able to get food to dehydrate, but he's having difficulty. And he said somebody is buying up a great quantities of food at the present time. Doesn't know who it is, but somebody is getting it. Do not put off doing what you need to do. And get yourself a Berkey water filter. Get yourself a 6-month supply of food. Get yourself certainly as much out of debt as you possibly can. Get out of cash. Get out of stocks. And then get yourself into the proper relationship with our Lord to get you through what is a difficult time. Lay in a supply of certainly of health products, that you'll have them because you're going to need those, and there are lots of things that'll help to keep your health up. Magnesium. Most people, 90% of the population is low on magnesium. They know what they're doing. They've certainly not counseling people to have magnesium. You get large quantities of vitamin D3. The government's putting out all sorts of reports saying it doesn't any good. Well, it doesn't any good because they give you such low amounts of it. They don't want you to be able to protect yourself. D3 helps you to strengthen your immune system, prevents cancer. All sorts of studies have shown how beneficial it is. And most people are deficient in D3. That's the reason you get colds in the wintertime. Why do you get colds in the wintertime? Because you don't get the sunlight. And in the summertime, you don't get the colds. They know these things. They just don't want you to know about your health. If you haven't read Russell Blaylock's wonderful book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, why they're available through Radio Liberty. It's sort of it's a very important book in our household. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, to understand the spiritual component of what's going on, you need to get it. The book we talked about, The Devil's Game, and another book called See No Evil. That's The Devil's Game. Tells you about who financed the Muslim Brotherhood, this whole radical Islamic movement. And then, of course, if you want to know about Islam Bird and the radical Islamic training camps in America. is Lamberg, B-E-R-G. Go up on the Internet, check it out. But if you want to hear Dr. Paul Williams talk, the one he gave at our conference, at least the CD is available at the present time, and you can get that. Or you can get all of the talks that we gave, that were given at our conference, by simply calling us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. To understand the world revolution, the continuing world revolution that began in 1776 and is coming to its climax as we speak tonight. Why you need to get my DVD on the world revolution, see my interview with Ambassador Smith. Certainly you want to get David Rockefeller's book, Memoirs, and find out about his daughters going down to visit Uncle Fidel and Uncle Fidel coming up to visit. The leading capitalist in the world. Well, please pray for America. Our number 1-800-544-8927. But please pray for Radio Liberty. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you that views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of William Grigg, a former senior editor of the New American Magazine. Now, of course, he writes blogs, and I hope he's going to be back on the radio here before very long, but he's certainly one of the most articulate spokesmen for the conservative cause, Mr. William Grigg. Hi, William, how are you?
Dr. Stan, I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for those generous remarks, and for having me on again. It's always a pleasure and a blessing to be with you.
Well, we always enjoy this. First of all, this marks the end of my week, so I get to 2 days off. But more than that, we always enjoy every remark. So what would you like to talk about tonight?
I don't see how we can avoid talking about what's happening in Egypt and trying to ferret out some of the likely subterranean mechanisms in play here. One of the things I'd like to do, of course, is to talk about my experience in Egypt, and I've mentioned this before. It was 17 years ago that I went to Egypt and spent several weeks there when I was on assignment for the New American covering the United Nations Population Control Summit. And one of the things that I mentioned before, and I will bring up again, is the fact that it struck me as being such a staggeringly obvious provocation to the Muslim world to hold a population control summit in the capital of a significant Muslim country, and Egypt is arguably one of the two or three most significant Muslim countries in the world. And it was perceived in that light by many of the Muslim journalists and policymakers and activists and lobbyists with whom I had contact when I was there. Many of them were not ill-disposed toward the West, but they understandably took offense at the fact that the government of the United States for decades had been evangelizing on behalf of radical feminism. And most importantly, whatever you think of the merits of feminism, the federal government was evangelizing on behalf of feminism in a way that involved invading the homes of Muslims in the Middle East and the subcontinent and elsewhere. And this was a cause for considerable offense, and it did a lot to alienate and to create rancor where none had previously existed. But the thing that I wanted to emphasize and underscore with respect to my experiences in Egypt here, having been arrested in Egypt while I was there, I have some insight as to what the environment is like in times of relative civic tranquility in that country. I was there for almost a month, and during the bulk of the time I was there, the conference was underway. You had hundreds of people from around the world who were attending a UN conference. Many of them, of course, had discretionary funds to spend, expense accounts, and so forth. And so there was an effort made to present Cairo at its best for public consumption. And one of the things that I noticed was that at intervals of maybe every 50 or 60 yards, there was an armed police officer. They're all decked out in very nice white uniforms. And I thought, this is quite nice. This obviously is something they did special for the conference. Well, I was there after the conference had ended, and after the conference ended, the police were still there with their automatic weapons. That's just what life is like in the Egyptian dictatorship.
In other words, what you're saying is that this really is a dictatorship.
Exactly.
But of course it's a dictatorship, and we've been keeping that government in power. We've been giving them at least $3 billion a year, plus, I'm sure, all sorts of other money to maintain the dictatorship there, as we've been maintaining these dictatorships in all the other countries. But, William, it almost looks as if we are going to withdraw our support, and that is, we are simply going to try to simply disrupt the entire structure of the Middle East and turn it into this radical Islamic world that we're also funding. Well, William, you go right ahead.
Dr. Stan, you're exactly right in terms of what I think would be the macro or the geopolitical import of what's going on in Egypt right now. And you're also correct in terms of the way you perceive my description of the experience I had back in 1994. Once again, these policemen were decked out in freshly pressed, very crisp white finery. They were in dress uniforms for the most part, and they were stationed at regular intervals throughout the city. I was in a little hotel that was called the Caesar's Palace, not to be mistaken, of course, for the very luxurious hotel of the same name in Las Vegas by any means. But it was just standard procedure to have these heavily armed occupation troops as police officers stationed throughout the city. After the conference is over and the cameras have been packed away and most of the diplomats had left, the police officers are still there. They just change from their white dress uniforms into their regular khaki or olive drab uniforms and took up their posts. And Egypt, it's not very well understood, Egypt has been under a state of emergency more or less constantly for more than half a century. It was declared by Nasser back in 1958 and during the 1967 war, which of course ended disastrously for Egypt and Jordan. And this is something that had been gestating between 1958, between the Suez Crisis of the 1950s and the 1967 war. You had a state of emergency declared once again that abated somewhat until the 1981 assassination of Anwar Sadat, which elevated Mubarak to the presidency. And since that time, although there have been Potemkin elections held in Egypt, Egypt has been, in a functional sense, a one-party dictatorship, a more brutal version of the one-party dictatorship that existed in, well, I don't know if you'd call it a dictatorship, but the one-party rule that existed in Mexico until very recently. Egypt is much more brutal. Their security forces are considered to be thugs. As a matter of fact, the way that they're commonly referred to on the street is the Arabic expression for thugs. They're not referred to as police. And it's the undercover, non-uniformed police who do most of the real damage to innocent people in Egypt. And there are draconian penalties for petty crime, and there are also severe penalties, particularly severe penalties, if you're looked upon as somebody who's an effective political opponent of the entrenched Mubarak government. And so you've had the state more or less of a perpetual emergency and quasi-dictatorship since 1981. And during that whole time, as you pointed out, Dr. Stan, Egypt has been receiving billions of dollars a year from Washington as part of the outgrowth of the Camp David Accords of 1979. And it's been the case that most of the hardware...
Hold that thought, Sidney. William Craig is pointing out that Egypt has been a military dictatorship for all intents and purposes. Oh, they have their elections, but of course there's only one party that runs, and their party always wins. The most amazing coincidence, and it's been going on for a long period of time, and we've been financing that. But certainly they're ruthless. If you oppose the government, certainly you disappear or you will be tortured and all sorts of things. We maintain that government. We maintain governments like that in Saudi Arabia and all of the Islamic countries. We install the radical Ayatollahs in Iran back in 1979. Everybody's forgotten that. We installed Fidel Castro in Cuba in 1959. He didn't win the election. We installed him. And if you haven't heard my interview with Ambassador Earl T. Smith, it's available, or you can read his book, The Fourth Floor. We ordered democratically elected, he was actually democratically elected president of Cuba, Batista. Earl Smith was told, you will tell him he will leave tomorrow. He will leave Cuba tomorrow, which of course meant that Fidel Castro would take over. And of course, Batista was smart enough to realize that getting an order from the American State Department is getting like getting an order from the mafia. It's an order you do not refuse because there are terrible consequences. The Shah knew that when we told him to stop opposing the revolutionary movement in 1979. I suspect Mr. Mubarak knew that today when he was ordered by President Obama to stop opposing the revolutionaries. But you pick up the story.
Well, there are a couple of strains that I've picked up here in this very large movement. I mentioned before the break that the hardware which is being used by the riot police, by the paramilitary police, which are acting under the command of Mubarak in his capacity as military leader. That's the really interesting thing about the statements that were issued over the last couple of days, is that he's invoking his status as commander-in-chief of the military. But the hardware which is being used, where the police have been actively involved in dealing roughly with protesters, that's all purchased with American taxpayer money. There's an interesting photograph of a canister of tear gas that had been thrown at one of the protesters, and it says made in the USA on the canister. That's a photograph which has been circulated on the net today. Not only is the hardware bought by taxpayer dollars, but it's often sold to Egypt by people who are corporate partners of the government in Washington. And on the other hand, there are elements within this protest movement that almost certainly are being manipulated by the CIA and by the State Department. There's a fascinating piece which was just published by the Telegraph, the London Telegraph. The headline is, Egypt protests America's secret backing for rebel leaders behind the uprising. And the subhead says the American government secretly backed leading figures behind the Egyptian uprising who have been planning regime change for the last 3 years. The story begins as follows. The American embassy in Cairo helped a young dissident attend the U.S.-sponsored summit for activists in New York while working to keep his identity secret from the Egyptian state police. On his return to Cairo in December 2008, the activist told U.S. diplomats that an alliance of opposition groups had drawn up a plan to overthrow President Hosni Mubarak and install a democratic government in 2011. He has already been arrested by Egyptian security in connection with demonstrations, and his identity is being protected by the Daily Telegraph. The crisis in Egypt follows the toppling of Tunisian President Zine Al Abidine Ben Ali, who fled the country after widespread protests forced him from office. The disclosures contained in previously secret U.S. diplomatic dispatches released by the WikiLeaks website show American officials pressed the Egyptian government to release other dissidents who had been detained by the police. Mr. Mubarak, facing the biggest challenge to his authority in his 31 years in power, ordered the army onto the streets of Cairo yesterday as rioting erupted across Egypt. Tens of thousands of anti-government protesters took to the streets in open defiance of a curfew. An explosion rocked the center of Cairo as thousands defied orders to return to their homes. As the violence escalated, flames could be seen near the headquarters of the governing National Democratic Party. Police fired rubber bullets and used tear gas and water cannon in an attempt to disperse the crowds. At least 5 people were killed. And they go into details here of the fact that there were hundreds that were injured, and there were half a dozen or so who were killed. And then they continue with the details that I find quite interesting. Leaked documents show the extent to which America was offering support to pro-democracy activists in Egypt while publicly praising Mr. Mubarak as an important ally in the Middle East. In a secret diplomatic dispatch sent on December 30, 2008, Margaret Scobie, the U.S. ambassador to Cairo, recorded that opposition groups had allegedly drawn up secret plans for regime change to take place before elections scheduled for September of this year. The memo, which Ambassador Scobie sent to the U.S. Secretary of State in Washington, D.C., was marked confidential and headed April 6th activist on his U.S. visit and regime change in Egypt. It said the activist claimed several opposition forces had agreed to support an unwritten plan for a transition to a parliamentary democracy involving a weakened presidency and an empowered prime minister and parliament before the scheduled 2011 presidential elections. The embassy source said the plan was so sensitive it cannot be written down. Ambassador Scobie questioned whether such an unrealistic plot could work or even existed. However, the document showed that the activist had been approached by U.S. diplomats and received extensive support for his pro-democracy campaign from officials in Washington. The embassy helped the campaigner attend a summit for youth activists in New York, which was organized by the U.S. State Department. The protests in Egypt are being driven by the April 6th Youth Movement, a group on Facebook that has attracted many young, mainly young and educated members opposed to Mr. Mubarak. The group has about 70,000 members and uses social networking sites to orchestrate protests and report on their activities. Now, that's the official opposition, in other words, that it bears the imprimatur of the United States government. What I suspect is happening, though, Dr. Stan, is that there's a larger vein of discontent among the professional class in Egypt, people my age and younger, mid-40s, young adults, teenagers, and so forth, who have understandably had a surfeit of repression over the last 31 years. Many of these people have seen the better part of their lives stolen by this corrupt regime, which has been propped up so dutifully by the United States government as part of the general corrupt entente which exists in the Middle East since at least the late 1970s. And I think what's happened is that this controlled opposition is not entirely in control of what's happening on the streets. That's what usually happens in a revolution of this sort. What's likely to shake out of this, I suspect, is that from this ferment, the people who are orchestrating the events will distill a controllable, officially designated opposition group that will be a lot less obviously repulsive than the Mubarak regime that exists in Egypt right now, but will be just as servile in taking orders from Washington. That's the aspiration. Now, whether they can control events to that degree of specificity and if they can refine their policy to a degree sufficient to bring about that objective, I don't know. But what I do know is that this obviously is perfectly in harmony with this long-term plan for transforming the Middle East, which has been written about and spoken about since the late 1990s. By people in the so-called neoconservative movement who have been itching and lusting after an opportunity to turn the Middle East into basically a fully realized colonial adjunct of the United States. Now, in fact, we have, or that I shouldn't use the collective pronoun, Washington has an empire, and Egypt is really a satellite of Washington in everything but name. But I think that what the people behind this movement desire is something that is even more formally and even more effectively controlled by Washington than the situation that prevails right now. And the way I look at it as well, it's likely that they're trying to find a new order, a new political order, if you will, of quislings or puppets in Egypt who would be even more effusively supportive of the objectives in the region with respect to the anticipated war with Iran and some of the other ventures in armed benevolence that Washington has been discussing for several years now. And I think that what will happen if you end up with El Baradei or some of the other people who've been discussed here as potential leaders of this new post-Mubarak regime, if they end up in power, they'll probably be, at least for the short term, as docile, as manipulable as Hamid Karzai was during his first couple of years as the mayor of Kabul, which is what he is in fact, although his title is the president of Afghanistan, which is not really so much a country, it's just a geographic region on the map that is inhabited by tribes who don't consider themselves to be part of one country. But it seems to me that that's what's happening now, is that there's this schism. Well, there's not a schism yet, but there's going to be a schism. There's this incipient schism between the people who are aligned with Washington, who were probably sort of the seedbed from which sprang this this revolt, and then the larger population of people who are genuinely discontented with the state of affairs in Egypt. And once again, this is a country that has been under an effective military dictatorship for at least half of a century, and under emergency rule since 1981. As a matter of fact, their equivalent of the Patriot Act, the emergency decree, or the legislative enactment which makes operative Article 3 of the Emergency Act of 1958. I think that's the formal title for it. But this was just renewed a couple of weeks ago amid a great deal of hue and cry on the part of people who were genuinely interested in liberty-oriented reform in that country. And I don't think that's going to change. Whatever happens as a result of this unrest and turmoil in Egypt, if we have a transition from Mubarak to a so-called democratic government, I don't think that the fundamental mechanics are going to change. They're still going to have that emergency decree. I think they'll just slap a new coat of paint on it and sort of prettify and gentrify the government and proceed more or less in exactly the same way that they've been going, unless this thing gets out of hand and Washington loses control of it, which would be the best thing that could happen for everybody.
Yes, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Basically, if they really wanted to stop this, they would just simply tell the troops to turn the machine guns on and mow the people down.
Yeah.
They're not doing that. They're using rubber bullets, to fire hoses, and water cannons and tear gas. So obviously, we're going to go through all the appearance, oh my goodness, we're trying to put it down. Ladies and gentlemen, when the veterans marched on the White House during the Great Depression, they had the American troops fire on the veterans. Go right ahead.
Dr. Stan, I think the...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Well, you've got Al Jazeera over there, Arab television, Arab military, militant television, jihad Islamic television, and they're inflaming the people, and I'm sure they are. And then you've got Facebook and the cell phones and all the other means of communication, and you can get a crowd out. There are going to be these things that people get swept up in the emotion. But ladies and gentlemen, go up on the Internet and simply type in Al Jazeera MI6. Al Jazeera MI6, that's British intelligence. And what do you find? Oh, shucks, it's been financed by British intelligence military, MI6, going back to its very inception. Nothing is as it appears to be. Reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. You're seeing a magnificent example of political theater. How it's going to work out, we don't know. But when you always want to control both sides, you want to control opposition. But there's something big is behind all of this. This is all being manipulated for a purpose. It's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out. But I will tell you one thing. The people of Egypt will not benefit. The people of America will not benefit. And I fear for the people in Israel. Go right ahead.
Yeah, and I also fear for a number of other populations in the region. You've got incendiaries loose in the world. They've talked about lighting a fire in the minds of men. That was a phrase that was embedded in George W. Bush's second inaugural address back in 2005, and Condoleezza Rice elaborated on that in a speech that she gave, commemorating the spirit of the French Revolution, which, of course, is utterly antithetical to the American War for Independence. Fire in the minds of men is a phrase that's taken from a Dostoevsky novel called The Devils or The Condemned. There are a number of translations in Russian, and it refers to people who were professional revolutionaries. They were riot makers. They were people who excelled in assembling people on the basis of a shared grievance, getting a mob together, and then very carefully leading the mob in a certain direction. And Bush, of course, George W. Bush, was not smart enough or historically well-versed enough to recognize the significance of that phrase or to pick up the resonance of that phrase. But when I heard that phrase, this had been, 6 years ago, I guess, when that was first used.
They've lit a fire. We've lit a fire in the minds of men.
Right. You know, that's, once again, from a phrase in the Dostoevsky novel where the town literally is burning down, this little university town in the Russian countryside, and the mayor is watching from his office, watching the street as his office building burns down, and somebody wants to summon the volunteer fire department, the equivalent of the fire department in this village, and the mayor says it wouldn't do any good because the fire is not in the buildings, it's in the minds of men. And this, of course, is all about propagating this common idea that you can be united on the basis of a common grievance, and then there are people who are the vanguard of this mass movement who are going to lead you in a certain direction. Of course, what happens is that they control the vanguard.
And I think that there is a world revolution going on. This is the thing. This is why, of course, James H. Billington in his classic book, Billington is the Librarian of Congress, and he writes about this continuing revolution, starting with the American Revolution, then the French Revolution, then the series of revolutions in France and Italy, and then the Russian Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, the continuing world revolution. And ladies and gentlemen, you are witnessing it tonight. This is part and part of the world revolution that James H. Billington wrote about, and the fire that has been ignited, and we are igniting that fire throughout the world. Why? Because the major purpose of the American government is to bring about a one world government and a one world religion with the destruction of Christianity. I mean, why else would we have installed regimes under Sharia law in both Iraq and Afghanistan and taken God and prayer out of our schools, and when the president speaks at a religious institution, he demands that the cross on the stage be covered up. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, they didn't take God and prayer out of our schools for nothing. They knew what they were doing. This is why we support the most ruthless regime persecuting Christians in the world today, Communist China. We're doing everything we can to finance this ruthless persecution of Christians. There's a fire in the minds of men to change the world. Go right ahead, William.
I'm afraid you're exactly right, and of course, that fire is not going to be entirely controllable. These people have the conceit that they're able to control the elements as if they were some kind of elevated mystical race of wizards, but I think that they're going to get scorched a little bit. But bear in mind, as you say, Dr. Stan, this is not going to redound to the benefit of people in Egypt or in Israel or in the United States or anywhere for that matter, because the people behind this do not have our best interests in mind.
No, they don't, but behind this whole thing is this ongoing spiritual battle that we've talked about so many times. I know you recognize, and hopefully our listeners recognize, because between man's plan in time and God's plan in eternity, there's an infinite quality of difference.
While the storm clouds gather, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a
Well, William, go right ahead.
Dr. Staney mentioned the fact that Washington has installed Sharia-based constitutions in Iraq and Afghanistan in the course of supposedly liberating those countries. And it's never really sunk in with many, many people who supported those wars that the most tangible result of those wars is that you've got governments in those countries now that, in principle, would make belief in Christ or the practice of the Christian religion a capital offense. And you mentioned, of course, the fact that Washington has been very, very cozy with the worst elements of the ruling elite in Communist China, people who persecute the Christian believers in that country. They run, of course, an officially recognized state church, which makes the state the deity that people are supposed to worship rather than recognizing the sovereignty of God, driving people underground into the house church where they're severely persecuted. That, of course, is par for the course. When you look at the track record of the people who promote so-called democratic reform and the global democratic revolution out of Washington, look at their track record and realize that they're orchestrating what's going on in Egypt right now. Extrapolate from their record to project the future, and, of course, what you have to conclude is that nothing that these people are trying to bring about in Egypt would likely be any better than what their previous achievements have been. And so I think we have to recognize that while we sympathize with the genuine grievances of these people who want to be free, and of course they have every right to be free, just as we have a right to be free, we've got to recognize that there is a script being played out behind the scenes that would nullify their freedom. And it's all about aggrandizing the power of this self-appointed transnational elite that orchestrates wars and choreographs misery for hundreds of millions of people. They're in that same business. They've not gone out of that business. They're not going to go out of that business until they're compelled to. And quite frankly, something bigger than us is going to have to compel them to get out of the business of sowing misery and propagating warfare and wreaking havoc on the lives of hundreds of millions of people. I do think it's worth pointing out that, once again, you see how the power elite controls both sides of this proposition. They've propped up the police state in Egypt for decades now, and they've also...
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest, of course, is William Gregg, and he's basically talking about how we have propped up the police state in Egypt and most of the other countries around that area for years. We've kept the ruthless state of in power in Saudi Arabia. This is a feudal dictatorship. They have slavery in Saudi Arabia. Why don't they ever mention that on ABC, CBS, NBC, or the rest of the Brotherhood of Darkness programs? Why? Because they don't want you to know about it. Ladies and gentlemen, they have slavery in Saudi Arabia, but we keep that regime in power. Oh, we have to because of the oil. Ladies and gentlemen, we got plenty of oil. We don't need their oil. We're just not allowed to develop our oil. Well, before I go on, William, I get usually so wound up in your conversation, I forget to give you the opportunity to tell our listeners about how they can get to your blog and how they can get to your writings and certainly how they can find your PayPal button. So let's get that part of it done, and then we'll get back to the things that are happening in the Middle East, ladies and gentlemen. This is probably one of the most exciting times, dangerous, frightening, and yet, of course, I think that we're going to see times where we're going to see God's hand in the unfolding of things, certainly in the coming months. But how can people get in touch with your ministry?
Dr. Stan, I appreciate that. My blog is called Pro Libertate, that's ProLibertate. And so if people are interested in visiting my blog, the easiest way, of course, would be to go to the URL, the web address, which is freedominourtime.blogspot.com, freedominourtime.blogspot.com. Alternately, they can type my name, Grig, and Pro Libertate into a search engine, and my blog should be one of the first returns. If you put in Pro Libertate and William Grigg, then I don't doubt that the blog would be at the very top of the return. I try to update it two or three times, between two and four times a week as my schedule permits. Generally, my essays are 1,200 to 1,800 words. I'm trying to make them brief. I'm trying to make them more digestible and reader-friendly. And I am working on a couple of essays dealing with what's going on in Egypt, and I've been trying to contact some people I know who have lived in the area and some people I know who are in the area. And of course, it's difficult right now to contact people in Egypt because of the turmoil and because of the fact that the government has been clamping down on communication, social networks, internet, Twitter, any of the things, even SMS and cell service, of course, has been choked off by the regime in Egypt. And that, I think, is a field test for what the people in our government want to do here. They have the kill switch option in Egypt. We've seen just in the last couple of days before all of this broke out that, once again, there's serious discussion of installing a kill switch where the President of the United States could act like the commissars in Beijing or Mubarak and his henchmen in Cairo and simply shut down the internet. I don't doubt for a second that one of the multiple gains to be wrought from this, from the perspective of our branch of the power elite here in the United States, is a field test for how you would go about doing that in the event that they wanted to. But I'm planning on writing about this and some other related issues in Pro Libertate. And you mentioned, Dr. Stan, that at the end of every essay I do have a PayPal button, and many of the people in your audience have very generously helped me and my family stay afloat and keep the blog up and running by donating through PayPal for those who have the means and the interest. I am very, very grateful for the generosity that they have displayed in helping us to stay above the plimsoll line, so to speak. And once again, Dr. Stan, thank you so much for everything you've done to give me access to your audience. And I've really been blessed by your generosity and by theirs as well. That's something for which I will always be grateful.
Well, we want to keep you there because we think your message is a very, very important one. And anyway, we're just glad that you've been able to survive, and I do hope our listeners out there will help you if they can financially. If not, pray for William. And if you're in a position, of course, to help him, why, please do. Go right ahead now.
Well, I was talking about the fact that the the United States, and before that, of course, the imperial government in Britain propped up the police state in Egypt, both the modern police state, the post-1958, post-Nasser police state, and before that, of course, you had a different type of imperial police state in Egypt. And at the same time, both the imperial British government and then Washington taking over seamlessly in the late 1940s and early 1950s promoted the Muslim Brotherhood. One of the things that people always talk about when they mention the dictatorial nature of the quasi-democratic government of Hosni Mubarak is that he has to be brutal. He has to be less than fair and above board in dealing with his political opposition because, after all, there are Muslim extremists who are clustered around the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt who lust to overthrow the relatively secular, it's not secular, but relatively secular government of Mubarak and install a fully realized, full-orbed Sharia law Muslim despotism in Egypt, which may or may not be the case. Of course, under Mubarak, the Coptic Christians in that country have been persecuted terribly, and one of the things that I do find very intriguing and very praiseworthy, and I mentioned this previously on the show, is that within the last couple of weeks, during the Coptic Christian and Eastern Orthodox Christmas season, which comes, Christmas comes a couple of weeks after Christmas for those of us in the Western Christian tradition, the Coptic Christmas celebration, the Advent, is celebrated a couple of weeks later. And in Cairo and other places, Alexandria and a couple of other places in Egypt, there have been horrible instances of persecution where street thugs of the Muslim persuasion have killed and otherwise terrorized Egyptian Christians. And you had, without any apparent organization beyond people getting together by way of telephone communications or through social networking sites, saying, we think this would be a good idea, you had Muslims show up to act as human shields to protect Christians as they worshipped during their celebration of the advent of our Lord, which I think is a wonderful thing, and I think that's genuinely spontaneous action on the part of the Egyptian people. It just once again shows that what the first chapter of Romans says is true. We know what is right. We know what is wrong. That's something which is imprinted on us by our Creator, and that's a function of being created in God's image. That's not a function of your race or ethnicity or even, quite frankly, a religious tradition. We all know what is right and wrong at some level, so nobody is left blameless if you do what's wrong. But the thing is, in Egypt right now, you have a government that has been willing to countenance these horrible crimes against Christians. And one of the things that they have been doing by way of justifying the despotic measures used by the Mubarak regime is to invoke the specter of the Muslim Brotherhood, which has been promoted by the CIA since at least the Eisenhower administration, if not earlier. And one of the things that has been discussed here is the possibility that the Mubarak falls, and I'm pretty sure that Mubarak is headed out. I mean, he's called for the resignation of his entire cabinet. He's basically essaying the same course that the Shah followed in 1979. I think that's, of course, an obvious parallel, but an appropriate one. He's basically circling the bull right now and just temporizing, trying to find some way, I think, of providing for his son, who's my age, as it turns out, and the rest of his family and hangers-on, just basically trying to figure out how he's going to get out of town and probably making travel arrangements right now with somebody who works for a three-letter agency in our government. But the thing is, one of the terrifying scenarios being discussed by people is that if he's taken out of power, you have to have some kind of strict authoritarian transition, because otherwise the Muslim Brotherhood is going to come to power. And if they come to power, of course, one of the things that will happen is that they will liaise with Hamas. And Hamas in the occupied territories is an offshoot of the Muslim Brotherhood. Wouldn't it be horrible if they suddenly had this large and powerful patron in neighboring Egypt? And that, of course, would be a very very plausible scenario. I mean, I don't doubt for a second that if you had an undisguised Muslim Brotherhood regime in Egypt, that one of the first things that had happened is that Gaza would become a launching pad for Hamas. But what is the background of Hamas?
It was organized by the Mossad and the CIA. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, you have to do your homework. Unfortunately, William has the information. We have a wonderful book. It's called The Devil's Game.
Mm-hmm.
The Devil's Game. And it's simply, it is the devil's game. You organize the other side. I mean, you have to have Hamas. You have to have the Muslim Brotherhood. You have to have Al Jazeera. You have to have Al Qaeda. You have to have Taliban. If you didn't have an enemy, how could you have a war and strife? But yeah, you want an enemy you can control in one way or another. And, of course, if people start to get out of control, you just have them eliminated. That is so crass. It's so difficult for people to understand anything could be that diabolical and evil, because a lot of people's lives are at stake. A lot of people get killed in these revolutions.
Yeah.
But go right ahead.
Well, one of the revelations that came by way of WikiLeaks, and I'm starting to appreciate the wisdom of those who suspect that WikiLeaks is another controlled opposition type of a conduit, because what they're doing basically through WikiLeaks is the old modified limited hangout strategy that the Nixon administration talked about. What that means is that you admit that which is already commonly known, and maybe go just a little bit beyond common knowledge. You whet the appetite of cynics and skeptics and your critics by making strategic, crucial admissions that go just a little bit further than people had expected you would go in terms of disclosing those things that are damaging, while, of course, retaining very strict control over the really damaging things that you don't want to be made public. You admit small sins in order to cover up large ones, as La Rochefoucauld put it, way back in the 1700s. And I think WikiLeaks might be that type of an operation, whether that's the motive on the part of Mr. Assange or not. I think that's how it functions.
I think you're exactly right, and people have to understand. Are they telling us about the Brotherhood of Darkness? No, they're not telling us about how it works behind it. They're not really giving the names to the people who are really pulling the strings, or they're giving you certainly confidential emails and confidential cables back and forth that are somewhat embarrassing. They have to give you enough information so it's believable.
Yeah.
But the really important things about what's really going on behind the scenes is not going to be released. But this is playing a part, and this is I think this is beautifully orchestrated. I think it's one of the finest orchestrated things I've ever seen, because it's so believable.
Mm-hmm.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that I have access to privileged knowledge as to the motives or conduct of Mr. Assange, but the way that we are finding ourselves buried in the minutia of petty quarrels and relatively venial crimes, while some of the larger and more important things are nowhere to be found in the cache of documents that are being distributed with very very strict and almost at a tantalizingly slow pace, that suggests to me that we're dealing here with the modified limited hangout strategy. But one of the things that has come out that I find really interesting that is, I think, in the nature of an admission that goes a little bit further than we had expected them to go in terms of making a tactical concession, if you will, has to do with a cable describing the patent phoniness of the Middle East peace process and how there were fundamental and detailed agreements being made in negotiations between the Palestinians and the Israelis. And they had to find some way to jimmy this up and bollocks it so that they wouldn't agree. That's the sort of thing that I have long suspected was the case. I mean, way back in the early 1990s, when I spent some time over the region talking with people from Egypt, from Israel, from some of the other countries, talking to diplomats, I came away with the impression that the last thing on earth they wanted was to find some kind of modus vivendi here, where people on both sides of that tragic and apparently, from a human perspective, irreconcilable conflict, would be able to live and experience at least the possibility of conducting themselves like normal human beings. The last thing they want is to normalize that conflict, because it is too politically profitable and too profitable otherwise. There are people who make just hugely lucrative livings off of this perpetual conflict. And I mentioned before this book, How Israel Lost, by Richard Ben Kramer, where he talks about the business relationships that existed between the late and thoroughly unlamented Yasser Arafat and several succeeding prime ministers of Israel, including Ariel Sharon. I mean, they were business partners. These people, once again, behaved like professional wrestlers who'd apparently be at daggers drawn with each other in the squared circle and making these detailed and often macabre threats of what they were going to do by way of horrific violence to each other. And then you find out that they had shared a taxi ride to the auditorium, and then afterwards they were at the after party comparing notes with each other quite amicably. I mean, that's the same kind of thing that goes on in these geopolitical conflicts where people die by the hundreds and by the thousands. And that's the element of this that is truly diabolical, Dr. Stan, of course, is that in the course of orchestrating this kabuki theater of public diplomacy, or these made-for-TV spectacles, the so-called reality television series of revolution, the people behind the scenes are quite comfortable. I mean, comfortable ways, you know, we can scarcely imagine, you know, in terms of the material amenities they enjoy and the luxuries that are their daily lot in life. And these things, of course, are acquired through this cynical, bloody-handed game that literally results in the destruction of human lives by the score, by the hundred, by the thousands, and the ruination of entire societies. And that's one of the reasons why I think we have to go back to the idea of the Gideon incendiary, you know, somebody who gets some kind of a visceral thrill from the spectacle of setting the world on fire. And that type of a person, while repulsive, is not the most evil variety of criminal we can think of. The more evil variety than that, even, would be those who deploy the incendiaries and capitalize on the misery and turmoil that they create. And those, of course, are the very respectable people in fine suits and who have a whole string of diplomatic or academic initials behind their names, who jet around the world in great luxury, often in diplomatic fashion. Those are the ones who are the real criminals. I mean, the folks at Davos this week are a much greater consequence to the way the world's going to turn out, even than the thousands of people who've gone to the streets of Cairo, many of whom have no idea that they're being used.
I think that's such a good point, you know. Basically, and we were so critical of the arms dealers. They sell the weapons of war. But nobody ever asks who puts up the billions of dollars that are used for these unnecessary wars. And, you know, and you go in the background of the Second World War, who built the weapons that Adolf Hitler used to kill the American soldiers? General Motors, Ford, AT&T, IBM, they're right down the line. And we had our people there even during the war. They were building the weapons during the war that were being used at Normandy and the Battle of the Bulge to kill American soldiers, and those American traitors were never punished. I wonder why. Who were they working for? Well, some names come to mind. William, go right ahead.
Dr. Stan, once again, thank you for having me on your program this week, and every week it's a privilege that I really enjoy, and I don't...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.